I wasn't sure what to expect for my 18th birthday celebrations, but being turned into a fuck slave pet by my own dad would not have been my first guess. I should probably rewind for you. So, my name's Marissa, and I've just had the weirdest day. Don't get me wrong, my actual 18th birthday was abso-fucking-lutely amazing. My mom and dad went all out, in a way that only bored rich suburban parents can. I'm talking about the kind of hedonistic binge that would have put most spring break celebrations to shame. The party started on Friday afternoon and lasted through the whole weekend. Let's just say the pool in our backyard got a lot of mileage. I think we might have blown my dad's stereo out too. We played one mixtape after another way too loud. I blame Tyler and his obsession with hair metal bands. Anyway, it was all for a good cause, so whatever, you know? There were hookups, breakups, drama, drinking, you name it. My folks turned a blind eye to this last one, figuring teens would be teens. The next couple of days were pretty quiet. It was like the whole neighborhood was still winding down after the whirlwind party we just had. I spent the following Monday morning recovering at Mariah's place, vowing never to drink again, although I wasn't sure how long I'd be able to keep that promise. Thankfully, we didn't have much to do, seeing as me and my friends were stuck in this weird period between the end of high school and just before being shipped off to college. So me, Mariah, and Raquel headed over to the mall to do some typical teen shit. You know, grabbing cheeseburgers and milkshakes at the food court, window shopping, flirting with cute boys, and swinging by the arcade to watch Raquel burn a mountain of quarters gunning for the top score at Galaga. I swear she spent hours wiggling that stick and mashing buttons, but in the end, she only managed to hit the second highest score. Pretty sure she's still pissed about that. Eventually, we peeled ourselves away from the mall and headed back home. Apparently, both Mariah and Mikkel had some sort of prior engagement with their families, so I figured I might check in with Laura and see if she was up for having a sleepover. I decided to drop by at home first, just to pick up some fresh clothes before going over to her place. I got home just before sundown. The house was still in shambles, the floor strewn with confetti and crushed beer cans. See, while our huge-ass party was going on, Mom and Dad decided to steal away for the weekend for some private time. Besides, they were too tired from arranging the whole thing to start cleaning up straight away. Fair enough, I figured. They'd work their asses off setting the whole thing up for me after all, and I didn't mind the mess. It was a fun little reminder of how much effort they put into my birthday bash to begin with. All just for me. I entered the foyer and kicked my sneakers off. The house seemed oddly dark and quiet, even though I knew my parents should be back home by now. I wondered if maybe they'd gone to that Freemasons club, or whatever it was that my dad disappeared to once a week, but then I remembered that it was for men only, so it couldn't be that. Well, maybe they'd decided to extend their little weekend getaway for a couple more days, figuring I was an adult now, and could take care of myself. Still, for them to just vanish like that, it wasn't like them at all. I couldn't help but feel a little spooked. Dad, I'm home. No answer. Mom, Dad? I wandered into the hallway next to the stairs, checking out the study where Mom usually hung out in the afternoon. No one was there. I turned the corner, crashing into the large, looming figure stalking up to me as I did. The sudden, unexpected contact nearly made me yelp. Oh, jeez, Dad, you scared me. Marissa, he replied. Where have you been? He regarded me with a strangely intense look in his eyes, but I figured maybe he was just worn out from the weekend or something, so I paid him no mind. Oh, you know, just cruising the mall with my friends, I said, peeking into the kitchen. Where's Mom? He didn't answer, but just kept staring at me in a way that made me feel uncomfortable, like I'd done something wrong. I avoided his gaze, trying to think of something to say to lighten the mood. So, how was your Tupperware club? I'm guessing that's where you've been, assuming you ditched Mom to hang out with your work buddies. What'd you get up to? Spend the weekend getting hammered and talking about football? Lose your shirt at poker? Start making out with the other dads? My father glared at me. He didn't seem one bit interested by my lame attempt at humor. He wasn't exactly the stone-faced type, but for some reason he was a lot quieter today than usual, and it was beginning to worry me. I gave a nervous laugh. What? Don't look at me like that. I don't know what you do with your man friends while you're away. He didn't reply, but just kept on giving me that weird look, like he was studying me, sizing me up. I bit my lip, averting his gaze, trying my best to hide my discomfort. Even so, I couldn't help but fall back on the same self-soothing gestures that I usually did whenever I was feeling nervous. Rubbing my forearm, tracing little circles on the floor with my foot, the silence had gone from awkward to downright uncomfortable, and I felt I had to say something, anything to break the silence. Well, anyway, I'm just gonna go grab some clothes real quick and then you're heading out again, he asked, cutting me off. It sounded more like a warning than a question. Yeah, I was thinking about maybe hanging out with Laura for a bit. She's busy at the moment, my dad replied, his voice hard. Busy doing what? I thought. And how did my dad know what Laura was up to? I guess I might stop by Christina's place then, I replied as a way to excuse myself, feeling this strange urge to get out of the house and away from my dad. I need you to see something first, he said. Oh, okay. He ushered me into the living room. For some reason, the easy chair had been moved dead center in front of the TV, with the couch and other furniture shoved into the corner to make space. The room was darker than usual, with the lights turned down low. The TV static washed over the walls and floor. The state of confusion kept me from commenting on the odd arrangement, though. Did me and my friends do that sometime during the weekend? I couldn't recall. My dad walked over to the chair, gesturing for me to take a seat. Sit down, he said, in the same harsh tone of voice. I wondered why he was being so serious. Maybe it had something to do with the party? Most of it had gone by in a blur, especially that last night. I wondered if I was in trouble. Something inside of me told me to run, to just bolt right out of the house there and then. But I stopped myself from acting on that instinct. If I was in for a scolding, I figured it was probably better to just get it over with. So I did as he asked. He walked over to the cabinet at the far side of the room, sifting through one of the drawers, then came back with a battered VHS tape with some odd markings carved into the side. There was no label. Some kind of bootleg, maybe? He thrust the tape into my hands, and I looked up at him, puzzled. What's this? Go on. Play it, he answered. Ugh, you're not trying to trick me into watching more creepy-ass horror movies like you did during that one sleepover, are you? You know, like the one with that freaky dude who kills people in their dreams? I know you thought that shit was real funny, but Raquel and I spent the rest of the night sitting up in bed with our flashlights on because we were too scared to fall asleep. Just watch, he said. I had never seen my father act so dead serious before. I couldn't help but wonder what had gotten into him today. Come to think of it, he'd been acting a little weird lately. Still, I decided to humor him. What was the worst that could happen? I leaned forward, pushing the tape into the old VHS player, then sat down. I was still a little uneasy, wondering what my dad had in store for me, but then the tape loaded and started to play. I finally relaxed a little bit as an image appeared on the screen. It showed a gaudy neon background dotted with triangles and palm trees suspended over a hot pink neon grid. It stretched out into infinity, while some overwrought, tacky synth and sax-laden music flowed from the speakers. The tape showed obvious signs of wear and tear, with the image heavily distorted in places by fuzzy, gray lines and the music skipping every now and then. I wasn't sure if it was mangled because of the sheer overuse, or if our tape player was just acting up. It was certainly old enough and more than ready to devour any unfortunate tapes that might be fed to it. It's like I always told my parents, should have gone with Betamax. Mom, of course, quickly shut that idea down. She had always looked on the idea of spending big money on what she deemed to be frivolous fun with suspicion. Well, with the exception of my birthday party. My dad, on the other hand, had been extremely excited about me turning 18. Strangely so, now that I think about it. A logo faded into view. Patriarchy Productions proudly presents Pet Girl Slave Training? Odd title, I thought. The logo vanished, and an energetic young girl with a big smile on her face appeared on the screen. She looked to be about my age. The girl was casually dressed to say the least, sporting a bright pink crop top, jean shorts, and thigh highs. She wore a number of rainbow-colored plastic bracelets on her arms, and a pair of loose twin tails peeked out from under her baseball cap. The rest of her attire was just as colorful, and nearly all of it seemed to be centered around a dog theme for some reason. She had cute little paw prints made of glitter painted on her cheeks, a dog collar fitted around her neck, and a cartoony drawing of a bone on her crop top. I wasn't sure why, but something about her seemed vaguely familiar. Maybe I'd seen her on TV before. The girl in the video waved enthusiastically at her viewers with both hands. Hi everyone, and welcome to your first session in our super special series on Pet Girl Slave Training. This is where we show you how to turn your subject into a proper obedient little pet whore. Okay, I thought, bizarre. If this is some new sitcom, it's not particularly funny. Maybe some kind of practical joke on my dad's part? The girl in the video continued with unstoppable enthusiasm. Now, are you ready to unleash the animal within? She asked, eyes wide with excitement, practically bouncing up and down as she spoke. It was the kind of impossibly bubbly attitude that could only be faked by having someone offer you $1 million. Or pressing a gun against your head. I glanced up at my dad, utterly confused by what I was watching. Oh my god, this isn't going to be one of those corny jazzercise videos, is it? He didn't answer, but simply gestured for me to keep my eyes on the screen. Okay, the girl in the video went on. Step 1. Get out your collar and leash and place them on your daughter or other training subject. Make sure the collar is nice and tight. I looked up at my father again, starting to feel more than a little bit freaked out by what was going on. Dad, what is this? Keep watching, he said. It was not a request. But I started to protest, but then a weird glitch in the video caught my attention. I could have sworn that part of the background behind the girl had flickered for a split second, rapidly changing colors. Weird, I thought. It didn't look like tape damage. I kept my eyes fixed on the spot in the background where it had glitched out to see if it would happen again. For some reason, nothing changed, but eventually, a different spot behind the girl flickered in the same way, almost too fast for me to see it. I hadn't imagined it. There was something strange going on with the lighting, which kept flickering at seemingly random places and intervals as the young girl chatted away. While my attention was locked on the video, my dad had walked back to the cabinet to pick up something else. A dog collar. He leaned down in front of me and without warning wrapped the collar tightly around my neck. What are you... Quiet, he said. I reached my fingers up around the collar, trying to pull it off, but the latch had some kind of locking mechanism, making it impossible to remove. Dad, it's really tight. Good, he replied coldly. Got your collars on? The girl in the video asked. Excellent. Time for the next step. I tugged on my collar again, wincing. Dad, this isn't funny anymore. This is for your own good, Marissa. He assured me. Now, just keep watching. You'll want to see this next part. Despite my reservations, I did as he said, turning my attention back to the screen. Now, let's see some examples of good girls who have been properly trained, the girl in the video said, pointing off screen. I was absolutely appalled by what I saw next. I'd never seen anything like it in my whole life. The video cut to a montage of sexy young girls in various states of undress being led around on leashes by older men. All the girls wore cat or dog ears or other paraphernalia, marking them as more exotic animals. Some of them even had tails sticking from their rear. I knew there was only one way they could possibly be staying attached like that. I tried not to think about it. The girls crawled on the ground on all fours, barking, meowing, and doing cutesy animal things as their handlers ordered them around. even literally jumping through hoops on command. I gasped, covering my mouth as I watched the scene of humiliation unfold before my eyes. The shots began to alternate more quickly, between the girls being forced to act like house pets, doing tricks like rolling over and begging, eating their food from bowls on the floor, being used as sex slaves, providing oral pleasure to their masters, and being pounded into oblivion by groups of hairy, sweaty men. The montage came to a close with a shot of a young girl completely naked, walking towards the camera on all fours to receive the doggy treats being offered to her by the man holding the camera. She happily ate them right out of his hand as he patted her and stroked her chin, looking up at her owner with a blissful smile on her face. The video cut back to our presenter, still facing away from the camera. She gave a phony chuckle as she turned back to her audience, sounding about as convincing as a late-night host going through the motions. Oh, what a good girl, don't you agree? I couldn't believe my eyes. Why the hell was my dad showing me this messed up crap? Dad, I sputtered, this is a bit fucked up, and I really don't want to be here right now. Can I please go to Laura's? Please? He gave me a cold smile, and then hit the pause button on the remote. The image froze, stuck between two frames that kept skipping back and forth on the screen. He walked over to the cabinet yet again, rustling something out of it, then turned back to me, tossing a clear plastic bag of Polaroids into my lap. I told you, she's busy. I fished the photos out of the bag one by one. More young girls, all around my age, being tied up, sexually tortured, and fucked in every position imaginable. Okay, so now my dad was not only being super creepy and hostile, but showing me his weird porn stash too. This day was not going the way I expected. Dad, you can't be serious. Why are you sharing your fucked up porn collection with your own... Wait. Oh my god. Is that... I gasped, covering my mouth as I realized who was in the photos. Laura. The girl who always talked about saving herself from marriage, being passed around like a rag doll and violated left and right by men at least twice her age. What was even more shocking was the discovery that my own father was taking part in the ceremonies, abusing her along with the rest of the neighborhood dads. I shook my head, staring up at my father. No, 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 Dad, this is wrong. He said nothing, but pressed the play button on the remote, and the video resumed. Now, you might be wondering, what happens to the bad girls who don't do as they're told? Well, another montage started playing. This one set in what looked like grimy dungeons and abandoned buildings, showing us girls being gagged, tied up, spanked, slapped, whipped, spat on, pissed on, having their faces roughly shoved in toilet bowls and being paraded around in public for all to see. Clothespins worried their nipples and tongues and red rope marks crisscrossed their skin. So as you can see, our hostess said, you definitely don't want to upset your master by being bad. After all, good girls get rewards. Yet another montage rolled, filled with blue skies and green fields showing us pet girls playing fetch and being petted and coddled by their masters? Clearly it was intended as a more light-hearted and playful contrast to the dungeon, but it was no less horrifying to me than the previous clips. The video went back to our hostess. And bad girls get... She paused, averting her eyes from the camera, letting out a half-chuckle as if remembering something funny before looking back up. What they deserve. A subtle change had come over her features. There was nothing happy-go-lucky about her presence anymore. That same wide grin was still plastered on her face, but now she looked downright unhinged as she stared back at me. Her eyes locked directly on mine as though she could see me right through the TV screen, and in that moment, I realized far too late that I knew her. Heather. That girl who had gone missing a few years back. I only vaguely recall the incident, but I remember police officers canvassing the whole neighborhood searching for her in the days and weeks after her disappearance. Heather was a couple of years older than me. She had been a high school senior back when I was still a sophomore, but she'd left quite an impression on me and my friends. And everyone I knew liked her and spoke highly of her, but one night she simply vanished from the face of the earth. No one had heard from her since. She would have been 18. Just like me. "Final step," Heather said, her voice lower, far more menacing now. "Take off your clothes, whore."
"Do as she says,"
my dad commanded. I shook my head, covering myself up as I shrank back into the easy chair. "No!
Marissa,"
he warned me, his hand clenching into fists. "Dad, this is crazy. I'm not gonna..."
"Fine," he said. "I'll just do it for you then."
He leaned in close and tore off my shirt, groping my breasts as he ripped the thin fabric apart. I kicked and struggled, but it was no use. I was physically fit, sure, but my dad, he was well over 6 feet tall and built like a linebacker. He held me firmly in place, overpowering my small frame with ease. I had never been so scared in my whole life. My father had never once laid a finger on me, but something about him was different now. He was no longer the man I knew, the man I thought I knew, the loving, doting father who had raised me for 18 years. No, this man was something else entirely, someone who is capable of anything. "Please, stop, let me go." He covered my mouth, watching me with a stern gaze.
"Stay," he growled in my ear. There was something in his tone of voice that I had never heard before, something primal and dangerous. I stopped struggling and he let go of my arms. "Are you going to stay still?"
he asked. I nodded, still scared out of my wits but terrified of disobeying him. He eased up a little.
"Good girl," he said. "Sit. Watch."
I did as he told me. The girl in the video was still chatting away, and the lights behind her kept flashing more intensely than before. "Now, repeat after me. I am an animal. I obey my master. My master knows best. My master is everything to me. I am just a dumb, brainless little slut. My only worth consists in pleasuring men and indulging their every desire. I have no will of my own. I am just a dumb animal. That's all I am. That's all I will ever be. I am an animal." She slowly repeated the same mantra over and over again while the strange, startling patterns of light flickered across the screen, bombarding my eyes and making me dizzy. I could feel my jaw unclenching itself against my will.
I am an animal.
I tried to resist, but it felt as if there was something, some outside force keeping me from controlling my own body. I knew I had to get out of there before it was too late. I glanced out of the corner of my eye to see what my dad was doing. He had gone back to that shelf to fetch something else. A tale, by the look of it, intended for me, no doubt. I decided to take my chance while he was distracted, bolting from the chair, heading straight out of the living room as fast as I possibly could. My dad turned around, visibly angered, but for some reason he didn't come running after me as I expected, but instead simply raised the small remote in his hand and clicked a button. The next thing I knew, I was sprawled out on the carpet, feeling like I'd just been hit by a truck. My body simply gave out from the sudden sharp pain. I could have sworn that for a split second, I could hear colors and taste sound. My heart was pounding like crazy, and my lungs felt like they were made of lead. I knew I'd just been hit by an electric shock, but from where? The collar around my neck? My dad calmly walked over to where I was laying on the ground, still shaking and struggling to catch my breath.
I said, "Stay," he roared as he grabbed me by the wrist, then yanked me up off the floor and shoved me forcefully back into the chair.
I was still too dazed to resist as he handcuffed me to the arms of the chair, using a pair of rails that had been bolted into its sides. I turned my head away from the TV, doing my best to avoid seeing the flashing images on the screen, but
My dad moved up behind me and caught my chin, forcing me to watch. "Don't struggle, Marissa. It'll all be over soon." I tried to shut my eyes, but the lights were just so inviting. Soothing. Yes, I suddenly felt very foolish. I didn't know why I'd tried so hard to struggle in the first place. It was easier to just let go. Follow along with the girl's instructions. Waves of pleasure began to slowly course through my body, like a visual narcotic, as I listened to her repeating her mantra over and over and over again. I never even noticed that my dad had gone back to the cabinet to fetch something for me until he stuck the needle in my arm. It only stung for a moment, and then I felt happy. It wasn't long before I started repeating the words back to the girl in the video. Just a shy murmur at first as I followed along, but then more loudly and cheerfully as I absorbed them into my being. By the end, I was nearly shouting them back at the TV, smiling because they were so true, so right. "I am an animal. I am an animal. I obey my master. My master knows best." Tears streamed down my face, and my body was racked with laughing spasms as I kept repeating the words. I didn't know why I was crying. I was happy, so very, very happy. "I have no will of my own. I am just a dumb animal. That's all I am. That's all I will ever be. I am an animal." Eventually, the words faded. It was now dark outside. I don't know how long I sat there, coming down from my euphoria, a tearful, sweaty, half-naked mess. But after a long while, I felt myself slowly regain control of my senses. A little bit of that panic I had felt earlier began to slip back into my mind, but I was absolutely exhausted. Feeling like I had just run a marathon, as much as I wanted to, I was in no condition to run away or resist. "Now your subject should be fully primed and ready for her first training session," Heather chirped. Her tone was much more upbeat, as it had been at the beginning of the video. "Remember, the key to training your pet girl properly is authority. You have to show her who's in charge and punish her when she disobeys you." "Okay, that's it. Have fun. Bye." My dad clicked the pause button, and we were left with a freeze frame of her offering her viewers a cutesy grin and a wave goodbye. My mind felt blank. I was back in control of my body, but I could barely move or think, and I felt queasy. "Dad, I don't feel so good." "It'll pass," he replied, unlocking my handcuffs. "Now, get up. It's time for your training." That wasn't the training session?" I asked, my voice quiet and demure. "No, Marissa," he said, attaching a leash to my collar and pulling me up from the chair. "That begins now."
"Wait, please. Not so rough. I'll get up. You want me to take my clothes off?"
"Yes, Daddy."
"I mean, yes, Master. My panties too, but I'll be completely naked." I'm sorry, Master. I'll do everything you say like a good girl. Please don't hit me again. There. What should I do next, Master? Put on these ears? Okay. How's that? And this tail? It goes where? Oh, okay. I'll bend over the table like you said, Master. I don't think it's gonna fit. You didn't even go slow. No, it's just really cold. No. Oh my god, it's all the way in. I'm sorry, Master, I can't stop squirming. It just feels so strange being filled like this. Yes, Master, I'll get on my knees like a good girl. You want me to bark like a dog? Yes, Master. Was that good, Master? Thank you, Master. I'm so happy to please you. What should I do next? Roll over? Of course, Master. Anything for you, Master. What do you want me to do next, sir? Beg? Play dead? Meow like a cat? Of course, Master. Meow. Meow. Brrr. Is that good, sir? I'll be any pet you like, sir. Do you want me to be a kitty cat today? Yes, Master. Thank you, Master. Oh, I love it when you pat my head and call me a good girl. Oh, Master. Your cock looks so big. It's not even hard yet. It feels so warm against my skin. I love it. I love it when you slap it against my face like that. You want me to lick it? Yes, Master. Thank you, Master. You taste delicious, Master. May I suck your balls, Master? Thank you, sir. Thank you. So big and heavy. I bet they're full of Master's yummy milk. May I take your cock into my mouth, Master? Please. Please let me worship the cock that made me. Please. Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Your cock tastes so good. I mean, Master, I could suck on it all day. It looks like you're enjoying it too, sir. Am I doing a good job? Thank you. Meow. When you tug on my leash like that, pull me closer as I worship your cock. Why did you stop? But why? Okay, Master, what do you want me to do now? Come over to that table? Yes, sir. I'll bend over and stick my ass out for you. Are you gonna put put it in now, sir. Please be gentle. I'm still a virgin. Please don't be too rough with me. Ow, it hurts. Please don't go too fast. Your cock is so big, mister. Pussy like this. Yes. Yes, keep going. Harder and faster, please. It's starting to feel good. Such a needy little kitten. I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet. Yes. Yes, master. Choke me. Wrap your hands around my throat as you... as you fuck the life out of me. Yeah, fuck me like an animal. Meow. 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 Brr. Master, wait, please, please don't come inside me. I'm not on birth control. Please, master, please, please, please. Pull out of me, please. I'll swallow all of it like a good girl, I promise. I swear, just don't come inside me. Please, please don't come inside. Get on my knees and open my mouth for you. Please feed me your warm milk, sir. Come for me. Come for your little kitten. Yes, yes, yes. We've made, sir. It's all over the floor, too. You want me to lick it up? Yes, master. I'd be happy to. Oh. Licking my master's cum off the floor. See? All clean, sir. Yes, sir, I swallowed it all. Every last drop, like a good girl, see? Thank you, sir. What's that, master? My cage? You want me to get in? Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, master. Please play with me again soon.
I wasn't sure what had come over me, and how I had known to say the things I had said while my dad ravaged my young body. Maybe I had simply been mimicking the girls in the video, but they seemed to come so naturally to me in the heat of the moment. I sat in my cage and waited patiently as he left the room. For a long while, nothing happened. The house was quiet, so much so that I jumped a little as the videotape resumed playing all by itself. I wasn't sure how it happened, but our old VCR player was falling apart after all. Maybe the aging header had simply lost its grip on the tape and let it run. In any case, the video rolled on and I shifted around slightly to get a better vantage point. I was looking at the TV through the bars of my cage and from an oblique angle, but could still see most of what was going on. The training video had ended, but it looked as though someone had left the camera running by accident after they finished shooting. Phew. Okay, that was pretty intense, Heather said, speaking in her normal voice now that she was out of character again. She wiped the sweat from her brow, talking to someone standing just off camera, while the set was being dismantled around her. Was I good, Daddy? I followed your script to the letter. It only dawned on me then that the video must have been homemade. The bright surroundings disappeared as someone packed up the lights and took down the background, revealing a dark, grimy basement. The back of the basement held a giant rack filled with all sorts of strange and painful-looking torture devices. Yes, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, she said to the man standing off-screen, shivering as she smiled, trying to keep up the facade of being happy and carefree, even though she was clearly terrified. I noted the lacerations on her arms and legs, now that her body was turned away from the camera. You know I'll always do what you say, Daddy. I shifted my position again, straining to take in as many details as I could while the tape was still rolling. I noticed other frightening objects scattered about the filthy dungeon, including a makeshift table covered in a tarp and lined with various medical instruments and power tools. I spotted the outline of a noose hanging from the ceiling in the far corner of the room, just barely visible in the dim light. The man, his face still concealed, picked up a switch from the table and approached Heather. "You wouldn't hurt me, right, Daddy?" she asked. "You said you wouldn't hurt me if I was good." The man said nothing. Heather wailed, frightened out of her mind as she suddenly was snatched by her arm and dragged off the screen. "Wait, Daddy, no, you promise." The tape stopped, and the screen went dead. I looked up to see my dad standing next to my cage. I hadn't even noticed him come back into the room. "Remember, Marissa, good girls get rewards, and bad girls get what they deserve." "Was she a bad girl?" I asked. "Yes." "What happened to her?" My dad shook his head. "Let's just say you're better off not knowing." I swallowed hard. He squatted in front of the cage, looking deep into my eyes with a penetrating stare. "Now, what about you? Are you a good girl?" I nodded rapidly, wanting to be a good girl for my master more than anything. "Yes, Master. I'm a good girl. I'm a very good girl, I promise." My dad offered a grim smile in return. "That's what I like to hear. Now, get some sleep. We'll continue your training in the morning." I bowed deeply and submissively as he left. "Yes, Master. Thank you, Master." It was difficult trying to sleep on the hard cot with no blanket. The windows had been left open and a cold gust of wind blew into the living room, causing me to shiver as I tried my best to fall asleep. I hadn't eaten anything since the afternoon, and my stomach was beginning to growl. Maybe, I thought, if I'm good, Master will be nice and feed me tomorrow. I hope so, at least. I tossed and turned for a long while until I finally passed out from sheer exhaustion. My cage was cramped and uncomfortable, but I knew I would get used to it eventually. I had to. I didn't want to do anything to make my master unhappy. I woke up again later that night. My dad was on the phone talking to one of his friends by the sound of it. "You want to use her this weekend? Might be a little early for that. She's still in training." "I suppose we could work something out. Some kind of arrangement. How many people are we talking?" 20? "Yeah, I reckon she could handle that." I raised my head slightly, wondering what they were talking about. "No, it's fine if you get a little rough with her. Just make sure there's no permanent damage." I was still a little scared, but my dad, true to his word, continued my training over the next few days, handcuffing me to the chair and forcing me to watch several more videos before breaking me in. until I stopped being afraid. It was for my own good, he told me. He's right, of course. Daddy is, I mean, Master, is always right. He knows what's best for me. I'm just a dumb animal, after all. I wasn't sure what to expect for my 18th birthday celebrations, but being turned into a fuck slave pet by my own dad would not have been my first guess. And I'm so glad he did.